better and say that you're peaking right now. You really are. If you're living your busy life, dealing with your family, figuring out what to feed them next, and you're still able to find a couple minutes to listen to this and enjoy yourself, this is as good as it's going to get. You're not stuck under a truck tire. No one needs to throw you a rope from a helicopter. Trust me, you're killing it. It's hard being a person. It really is. Just the physical maintenance of you alone is endless. Just the brushing, cleaning, and wiping, hopefully every day, of you is a major project. Throw in the needs of the rest of your family and things get really tricky. So stop beating yourself up. You're doing great. This isn't to say that your life is struggle-free. Everyone has their battles to fight. There may be slight differences in what they are, but no one lives a life without them. There will be sickness, money problems, and clogged toilets, but that's okay. It's all part of the package, so don't be a baby. As my grandmother would say, get over yourself. You do the best you can, try to remember to floss, and have some laughs along the way. The main source of these laughs is the people around you. Like you, I didn't choose the people in my family, but I knew from an early age that these people were hilarious. After performing, traveling, and meeting all of you, I've learned that your families are hysterical too. Now I know you're busy with all the important stuff you have to do. You have to draft players for your fantasy league, get your toes done before that thing you have to go to. So maybe you don't have the time to recognize what exactly makes your family so ridiculous. That's okay. That's my job. It's all I do. That's why I wrote this book, to point out some of the absurd things that you might have missed and help you realize that you're not alone. We're all doing the best we can, and that's truly enough. I hope you enjoy it. Look at that. You got through the introduction. Nice job. You're doing great. Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. Moms and Dads. My parents are dumb. That's what we all think at some point in our lives. This is what makes it possible to break away as adults and go out into the world to do our own dumb things, like trips to Vegas, collecting mason jars, and doing shots of tequila with Don from sales. But just because we discover that our parents are mere mortals doesn't lessen the impact they have on us or make our relationship with them any easier. Our parents are the critics of our lives. Whether they're still living and leaving incomprehensible voicemail messages, or they have moved on, finally relieved of their duties, it is their simple, offhand remarks about what you were wearing or why you lost the spelling bee that will forever rattle in your head with more devastating impact than a bad New York Times review on opening night. Of course, parents don't realize their power because, from their point of view, no one ever listens to a single solitary word they say. But children hear everything, and the stuff that sticks is the stuff that is said without thinking. My parents started their family when they were 20 years old. That seems impossible today, considering people in their 20s are lying on airport floors in their pajamas, Snapchatting their lives away. But it really happened. If I had known how young my parents were at the time, I would have responded to any demand that I clean my room with loud laugh track laughter, more commonly used on my siblings. I try to take their age into consideration when I reflect on the insensitive things they said or did while I was growing up, like the early Saturday morning when my father and I were driving along on Route 17. I was 12, so I was probably rambling on about something important, probably having to do with Eddie Murphy's Gumby impression on Saturday Night Live, or the kid in school who accidentally blew off all his facial hair with a homemade rocket, when my father turned to me and asked, "Are you going to be one of those guys?" "With the kind of guy who blows his face off with a rocket?" I asked. "No, one of those guys who talks all the time." As someone who went on to build a career doing exactly that, you could imagine how insulted I was. I remember thinking, as opposed to what other kind of guy? A guy who sits alone in the den in silence watching nature shows and picking pistachios out of his teeth? Of course, I didn't say any of that, or engage him in any conversation at all.